providing inspiration and community for women in business of Middle Tennessee. This is Powered by Her with Tiffany Anton.
Welcome back. I am Tiffany Anton, the founder of Powered by Her. And I have a good friend in today. I'm really excited to have Ashley Michael.
Hey.
Thanks for being here.
I'm glad that I'm a good friend.
This is not even your first time on Powered by Her.
That's true. It's been a little while.
I'm excited
to be back.
Not that we have like host seats anymore. You came when we were doing the video podcast where there was like a host seat in the couch where the guest was.
Yes.
And we like switched seats.
We did in the middle of the episode.
You got to be the host of that episode.
I know. That was a big honor.
I kind of make it co-hosting now. That's how we do it is I like to have...
You might be in charge.
I guess I could. I always sit in this corner, but I guess
because I came with questions. You didn't know it, but
oh, today you came with questions. Great.
No.
Okay. You can. I mean, last time you came with a stack of T-shirts that I had made and stuff.
Yeah, I had props.
That was our 50th episode. If you want to go back, gosh, a long time ago.
It was a couple years ago.
2021.
You've been at this for a while.
Yeah.
Bravo on sticking with it.
Thank you so much.
We're going to talk a bit more
because we got some exciting things to say next episode, which Ashley's going to be on as well. But let me take a second to thank our partner for this episode, Plenty Downtown Bookshop. Ashley, are you familiar with Plenty?
Oh, how about that?
Downtown Bookshop is more than a place to buy books and book-related gifts. It's a space that is working to lift up our community, linking arms with the libraries, the schools, and other bookshops and special spaces. It's a space to come together around ideas, around things that help us laugh and think and relax and grow. It's about building your life of plenty. Check it out and mention this podcast for a special treat. Plenty Downtown Bookshop is on Broad Street in Cookeville, Tennessee. What do you think about?
I think about that place.
It is a pretty special place. It is a pretty special place. So which is actually kind of what we're going to talk about today. So you have always just been kind of a dreamer in the entrepreneurship world, I feel like, since I've met you.
I'm a dreamer, but I'm also not a big risk taker.
Yeah.
So I love to dream and think of all these like, you know, and even like plan it all out and have all the details, but then it's very hard to take the actual risk and just do it.
Well, and I think, and we're going to talk next week about kind of personalities and Enneagram personality
Can't
types,
wait.
But I think that's why the world is created in such different personalities, right? Because you need, Ashley and I have worked together for years now, off and on in different projects and in different capacities. And you can think of all the details of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of none of the details.
That's not true.
Like I want to look at the bigger picture.
Right.
I want to make sure that the whole, like, okay, we have a time constraint. Like, let's make sure we're getting this done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is sometimes... It's just good to kind of work with the right people. And so you've had this vision and your background. I mean, I feel like you've had a lot of different
I've done all kinds of things.
When you think of your like story, you got a degree. What's your original degree?
Okay. So I majored in English and technical and scientific communication. So basically like editing
and
technical writing and technical design. And so like, you know, just getting into the details to make documents the best they can be.
Like,
which I really like.
Is graphic design part of that?
I took some classes in that a little bit.
Because you've done some of that too. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's your original.
I just thought, you know, I enjoy it. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And it felt like I could do a lot with that. So that was my undergrad. And then by the time I graduated, I knew I wanted to get a master's in counseling. I just really felt like I wanted to help people.
Like it doesn't line up with writing.
I mean, it can't. It actually is like, on first glance, I don't think it does either, but I've met a lot of other people, weirdly enough, that I feel like have a similar thing. I don't know what that is, but
their education background is
maybe
kind of a similar path.
So I went and got my master's in counseling and I was a licensed therapist for a little while until kids came. And
did you like that part? Like aspect? And we talk about mental health a lot on this podcast.
That's good.
And there's a huge value of whether you're formally going to a therapist or you're just self-aware. There's a lot
you're
of
just
great
reading up on whatever you need to.
So there's, as women who do a million things, like just being aware of mental health is very important.
Yeah.
But it can be heavy from the therapist's perspective, I'm guessing.
Yes. So the kind of work I did was always high crisis situations. And I still have my license, actually. I just keep it up because I'm like, well, I don't know. I never, never know if I may need it. But I was always doing, like, I worked at a rape crisis center, which was heavy. And I mean, it's really worthwhile and I loved it, but it was like, I don't have the personality to just be able to do that. Like, it's just hard. Mm-hmm. And then I worked at like a residential place for like high school kids that were out of control and, you know, so they're in crisis mode. And so that was my counseling experience, all like crisis and trauma and grief and loss.
Not just somebody like, hey, I'm kind of okay, but I just want to be a better human.
I would love to just like all of us normal, like anxiety and depression people. Like,
yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
So when kids were born, I thought, you know, I'm just going to like pause that. And then I kind of went back to like, I just had time to dream and had always loved the idea of a bookshop. And so I started researching and I just thought, you know, one day when I'm like 60 and I have time to like do this, I'm going to have it all planned out. And it's going to be ready. And
so I don't know that we've said this yet. You are the co-founder and the manager of Plenty Downtown Bookshop, our partner for today's episode. So those who are like, well, why, where are we going with this?
That's where we're going.
But so do you think part of your dream and vision, like for those people who don't know, sometimes I think we're in a Hallmark movie set is what Cookeville is kind of like. Know. It's just that cool... I think we're very small business friendly. Mm-hmm. We're very supportive. People want to shop local.
And yeah.
We just have a lot of pride in our, I think a lot of people have a lot of pride.
Which, and I mean, I don't know if we want to go down this rabbit trail, but I feel like that's a newer thing. And maybe it's just because when I moved here, I didn't know all the places, but.
Well, and you struggled a little bit when you first moved here to kind of find your
place. I did. Yeah. But it just seemed like, so I moved here from a small town, Oxford, Mississippi, that had like a lot of local and that kind of thing. And so then I came here and, you know, there's all the big chain stores and restaurants and things. And then there was this cute little downtown area, but there wasn't as much happening there. There was the market on the square, which I still love to buy gifts there and stuff, and some coffee shops. But I feel like Cookeville is going in a really good Hallmarky direction.
It is. Sure. So do you think you kind of came up with that vision of a bookshop once you saw this place, or do you think you always wanted to be like a bookshop keeper? That's what I feel like it's not.
A bookshop keeper.
Yeah.
I like that. That's what it should be called. You mean like seeing the downtown and then thinking.
Just seeing, and maybe even, seeing kind of how small businesses thrive here.
Yeah. My hope was to have, I think bookshops are like community spaces. And so they belong in whatever the heart of the community is. So when I think Cookeville started to have a little bit more going on in this area. And the street was perfect. I used to drive up and down Broad Street, like even before there was much going on there. It was like some antique shops or I don't even know what was there, and like a few restaurants and stuff. But it's just such a cute street. And I would just drive up and down it on purpose, like make my way through there because I thought, oh, this would be like such a good spot.
Well, and you've done some contract work here and there for the Biz Foundry, which is our regional entrepreneur center, so that was kind of how you and I started working together. We made a magazine with like three people that we just kind of by the skin of our teeth. Is that a thing? Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why, but that is the way that it says.
So we just kind of made that work. And you started talking because you're a baker too. You're actually, I forgot you're a Putnam County
chocolate chip cookie, right? Chocolate chip cookies. Yeah.
And so you had talked about like having a bookshop that had baking in it. And at one point I was trying to recruit you. Remember, I wanted to have a yarn store.
Yeah.
Gosh Yarn It. It's copyrighted. Don't steal it from me. But my yarn store is called Gosh Yarn. It's not really a thing. It's just in my head. But
it's such a good idea.
But I was like, you could like, let's do that, you know, but I'm not a risk taker in that aspect either. So I'm like, I'm not going
to. It feels like a big thing to just like jump out on your own and just set up a shop.
So you were doing some graphic design work for us. You've done some manuals. You jumped in with the Biz Foundry, and that was a good fit at that time. And then Lisa Yurick, who you've heard multiple times.
Yeah, you interviewed her. That was my first. And then I like wrote an article from the recorded interview.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we were doing like spotlights. Oh my goodness, there's people here that build bookshelves for bookstores all across the US. And I was like, that's really cool.
You didn't know Lisa before that?
No.
Oh, wow.
So I wrote the article and she really liked it and wrote a nice little note. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'd love to just hear more about it because I thought this is just really cool. I just thought, what a neat idea. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah. So for those of you who follow along with Powered by Her, Lisa's been on multiple times now. We talk about reading and the importance of reading and the value and just what it does for you. And we've talked about some amazing topics with Lisa. She is well-read, well-spoken. She's an incredible human. So you were kind of on your own figuring out, this is what I want to do when I'm 60, and you are not anywhere close to 60. No. Are you even 40 yet?
I'm 40. Okay. I'll be 41 soon.
Okay. Well, happy early birthday. Yeah. Oh, yeah. End of April.
Yeah.
End of this month, you know. So you were like, this is my 20-year plan, which Lisa has a 99 or 100-year plan or whatever. Yeah. And she's a little bit older than you. So, but she's like having her own set of dreams and visions. Right. This is not something you're discussing together. And I remember distinctly the day that you guys were supposed to meet at the Biz Foundry. And you're like, I have no idea why Lisa wants to meet with me. I think she's got some idea, but you were kind of doing some business coaching with people at that time too. And so the thought was maybe she just wanted your advice in general. And that wasn't what happened. So tell us about that first meeting.
That's right. Yeah. So
I have a pretty good memory of things.
And I think that maybe Joy was there too. She's the woman that helps kind of coordinate things at Franklin Fixtures. And Lisa said that she wanted to open up at the time she wanted to build the perfect bookshop almost. And it was going to be in a barn, and there was like such a grand vision. It was going to have lavender fields and a dog park and an outdoor amphitheater. I still think it'd be great.
On her property, right?
On her property, yes. And so was wondering, she was so kind to see, you know, if she remembered our conversation, and we had sort of kept in touch here and there, but years ago about, you know, my excitement for wanting to open a bookshop one day. So she just wanted to know if I wanted to have any part of it. And I wasn't sure at first. I was really excited about the idea of kind of getting to test things out, get my feet wet, learn a little bit, you know. And
for those who don't know, I mentioned that we did a magazine together, and you said to me, hey, if you need some editing, and I really think you thought you'd be proofreading and kind of dipping your toes
maybe
in.
Writing a couple things.
Right. And you ended up doing the whole entire layout. You coordinated everything for that magazine. Yeah. I did the interviews.
I wrote
a couple of the articles, but I mean, I don't know. It's 80 pages of 50 pages that you've written, you wrote and laid it all out and all that kind of stuff. So like, that's kind of your thing. It's like, oh, I'll just see. And then you're like,
and then I jump in and like do some big thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. It makes me want to go back and look at my life now and see like when else I've done that.
How else have I?
I'll try this.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, well, this is what we're doing now. Yeah. I'm not just testing it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it was sort of like, well, let's test this idea out. And I really wasn't sure about how is it going to be business model wise to have a bookshop that's kind of like out there in the country, because I always wanted to do a downtown one. But I still thought, well, I really liked Lisa. I knew enough about her to know that I just respected her as a person. And so I wasn't afraid to kind of try this out with her, which I think is really important. Like, you know, for anybody who's looking to, I don't know, join in business wise with somebody. And then it sort of, so like, you know, we sort of planned some different things. We then very quickly came to the idea of let's have like a little downtown pop-up shop. And that's what Spring Street, the location over there, was initially.
Did you feel like a struggle of since she came to you and mm-hmm. she's like, this is what we're doing mm-hmm. and I want you to be involved. Did you feel, you know, you said, I wanted this, your vision was a downtown bookshop mm-hmm. and not, you know, amphitheater and Lavender Field and dog park in the country. Was that a struggle for you of like, do I say something? This isn't really I don't hold the reins right now.
Right.
Do I say something or do I just go along with what she's,
yeah,
I'm just stepping into this project. This isn't my project, but.
Right. Yeah. I felt like it was important to try and be as honest as I could. And, you know, it was like, you know, it was her and Dave's finances. And, you know, I really, you know, I mean, I think you just have to respect that, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, and go with their vision. But I wanted to help offer like the thoughts that I had from the research that I had done and things like that. And just sort of, I really viewed it at that time initially as like, you know, I'm going to come in and help where I can and kind of help offer what, you know, ideas I may have. But initially I was still kind of holding on to, like, before we opened, it was still like, well, I'm helping with their project, but I still have my own, like, mm-hmm. you know, dreams in the back of my mind. And I'm just going to be able to learn from this. And then I can kind of go and
do my own thing.
Something even better. Like, it's a good opportunity, you know, to learn and improve.
Yeah. How long ago did the first pop-up shop open to?
We signed a lease in June of 2022 in this lovely little building on Spring Street. And I really thought that it was going to be, so we use the term like pop-up shop and that we just kind of, you know, maybe do some events, have some books, like try things out, see if Cookeville would support having a bookshop downtown, if there was interest. And then next thing I know, there's like these permanent, like beautiful fixtures going in. Yes. And I think when I started to see it come together, I was like, oh my goodness, like this is like actually going to be a bookshop.
Yeah. Yeah. And you spent, there was a lot of hours mm-hmm. because Lisa runs other businesses as right. well. And she does a lot of things. So there, most of the times pre-opening, when I would stop by there, you were really setting up things and doing things.
Yeah.
And is that what gave you the ability to kind of step into that, like a little bit more of the ownership role yeah. of things?
Well, and again, I think this goes back to, I don't know that everybody could do what Lisa has done. Like, she's been very generous because, you know, like we said at the beginning, like it's their, you know, she and Dave have funded all of this. And Tony and I had offered, that Tony's my husband, had offered to, you know, kind of go in on it some with them. And I think that they have just been really kind to invite me to think of it really as like, I think they put a lot of faith in me, really, just to say like, run this as your own bookshop, as you would. And so I really got the go ahead to kind of test out a lot of my ideas. You know, and we met some and talked through like, okay, what kinds of things do we want to carry and that sort of stuff. But then from there, I think that, and because, you know, she is busy doing a lot of things. So it was really a lot of, I just sort of got to go in and like pick all the things that we were going to sell, order all the books and, you know, hire the people. And
it's interesting because I think that, and I don't know where this comes from, but for me, I feel like obviously bringing the money to the table is the bigger deal, right? Like yeah. not necessarily what it looks like inside or the staff that you have there, but it's like, those all go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't do it without you.
Right.
Lisa and Dave couldn't do it without you and you couldn't do it without them.
That's right.
And you have four children and
yeah.
your youngest.
What? She's going to start kindergarten next year. So she's still at home. She just turned five, right? She's almost five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's July.
Yeah.
She's July.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty good about that. But there's four kids. I know, it's a lot. So at the time she was like two. So you have a young child at home still. Mm-hmm. And you were kind of in this like in between stay at home, but kind of doing.
I initially was like, I can do 10 hours a week, Lisa. That's what I can do.
Yeah. And that transition of you know, really working. Mm-hmm. And you've done projects since I've known you, and you had a small child at the time, mm-hmm. an infant when I first met you, and you've had two other babies since I met mm-hmm. you, and you've always been doing these projects.
Right.
And so you've kind of figured out a way to make that work, and that works for you. But really investing into like taking the ownership of something is different than just here's a project I'm
right.
working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can say no to the next project that comes up once this one finishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really say no anymore.
No. Yeah. I feel like my name is tied in with them in this. And so, yeah, I do. Yeah. Like I worry a lot more about it, and I want to be protective of, you know, like how it's viewed in the community and all the things that, you know, whether my big chunk of change is invested in or not, I feel like I have that same sort of buy-in at this point, mm-hmm. you know, of wanting it to succeed.
Well, and I think you have the emotional buy-in, which mm-hmm. is, I think, really important too. I think there's a lot of people who are maybe CEOs or running something and they don't have that. They're like, well, I'm just doing this to get my paycheck at the end of the day or whatnot. And they don't have the emotional buy-in of a community staple, if you will.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, that's what I think you have the vision for. And Lisa has that vision. Has that been a transition over the last 2 years of just trying to figure out how to align your visions together, or it just was symbiotic from the...
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think that it start like the big general pictures lined up really like in terms of what the feel and what the goal, you know, and then it's just the details maybe that were different of, you know, like you said, initially my thought was downtown and hers was this lovely like park-like setting. And so, you know, we've had different and like the displays and stuff. I know nothing about displays.
Merchandising.
Right. You know, like I, you know, come to my house and see, like, I'm not anything amazing in terms of how I, you know, would set things up. And so I think a lot of the little details, maybe we didn't line up with perfectly, but it was never like a problem. Again, I think that she and I have both been fortunate that we've sort of been able to work together, talk through things together. If there's even just yesterday, we were texting over something where maybe we didn't totally agree, but we both very much want to, you know, hear the other person out. And I don't know. I mean, I think I would have jumped a long time ago off of this ship if there wasn't that, you know,
the level of respect. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I think that at the end of the day, Lisa and Dave are just, they are good humans.
Yeah.
But how do you know that, like,
right.
going in?
I mean, maybe trust your gut.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know, which I kind of tend to do. I mean, we'll talk about that when we talk about the Enneagram stuff.
Yeah.
But I do sort of operate that way, you know, of, I mean, like with you, I didn't know you all that well when we became friends, but you sort of get a read on people.
We've joked about, I mean, I've said this many times and we were just talking about this before we started recording, but I kind of forced you to be like, you know, I think you were like, no, you didn't force me, but like, I really was like, okay, you're newer. I had moved here a year before you.
Yeah, you took pity on my poor new little self.
Our older daughters were both dancing together. Mm-hmm. We both had younger children that were around the same age. My husband at the time and your current husband were both working at Tennessee mm-hmm. Tech. And so, but you were just more, I think you dip your toes in until you jump.
Yeah.
And I'm like a jump.
Yeah.
I just jump right away. And so for me, I was like, well, I like this person. But that can be kind of, you know, sometimes that's overwhelming. I'm well aware I can be overwhelming to people and sometimes intimidating. And sometimes, you know, I try and take that into account, but it's not always easy. But mm-hmm. I think for you, it's just like, okay, I'll get there when I get there. But
yeah.
I think having that instinctual, it's hard sometimes to, we always say don't judge a book by its cover, but
you do.
We kind of have to do that.
I do
with
when
humans.
I am buying books for the store.
I do too.
I don't buy the ones that I'm like, that's not going to look good.
Totally. Like side note, I came in there, I was going on a beach vacation and I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I need, you know, I'd like just something lighter. And I was like, I like the way it feels. Like uh-huh. I like the paper. I like a soft cover often. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of like, I picked the book based on
felt right.
What the book felt like in my hands, not even my gut, but just physically felt like. And so I think that's, you know, you get a vibe from people and I think mm-hmm. you should trust that sometimes of, you know, this is just, it's not instinctually. And I think that sometimes we as women often feel bad for quote unquote judging maybe. Mm. And so if it, our gut tells us maybe this isn't going to work,
yeah,
it's like, oh no, you shouldn't think that. You right. shouldn't think bad, yeah. Especially Southern women. I probably am a little more, I don't know. I just think Southern women, I just wasn't raised as much to be like, you know, maybe as kind and sweet as Southern women. But I think sometimes that's hard because if your gut doesn't tell you it's right, we feel like, oh, we shouldn't touch that.
Right. But then you should give everybody a chance. I mean, if you're in business together, you can get into a bad spot.
For sure. I mean, one piece of advice I think, or takeaway that I think is really important is that it cannot be a good pair for you, but that doesn't make that person a bad person.
Right.
And so I think that I say this all the time in relationships. I really learned this in romantic relationships is that just because we don't work together right. doesn't mean you're a bad person. Right. Doesn't mean there's, you know, it's just, we don't have the right mesh together.
Yep.
And I think that that's right in business. I mm-hmm. think that's right with employee to boss mm-hmm. situations, employee, employer. I think those are really important.
And I thought, so like Dave and Lisa, you know, I've held my cards a little closer to my chest. I don't know the right phrase, but like I didn't jump all in initially. You know, we sort of spent the summer, I guess like March, maybe they came and talked to me at Biz Foundry in March about this idea. And I said, okay, maybe, you know, I'll help you out. And then by the time it was like September and the store had been open for a couple months, I think that's when I was more like, okay, I'm going to sort of be all in with this and like really take it on a little more. But I think it's smart to have a little bit of time where you do get to see like, how are they, if you have the opportunity, you know, how are they treating you and treating other people? And are they like true to their word and all this kind of stuff? But it was also a good mix of, I've heard, you know, like it can be hard to go into business with your friends. Like we really were not friends. Like we didn't know each other all that well before, but there was enough of sort of a good read to say like, I think this would work. And then as time went on more and more, I felt like, okay, I really could trust them.
Well, and I think you, even maybe when you were aware and new and okay with taking the leadership position, I think still maybe publicly, I mean, we're friends mm-hmm. personally. It's not just a business relationship, I think.
Yeah.
And I still like was kind of like, I don't know. I think Ashley's just working there. I don't really know. So it's kind of taken you more time to publicly say, yeah, I'm a co-founder. I mean, I think this is the first time I've ever heard you even use the word co-founder. Mm-hmm. And I think it's taken you a while to even kind of like publicly step into that mm-hmm. role as well. But that's just, I think that's part of your personality is like, you know, I think if you came in and were like, I'm going to take the reins on this, you know, that probably wouldn't work very well.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. I mean, that'd be a good question to ask Lisa.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really wanted to be respectful of like the investment that they had made. And I feel like it's been such a gift to, yeah, just being handed the opportunity, like, here's, you know, we're going to set it up for you. And
the people that are going to kind of push you to take that risk, mm-hmm. I think is really important, is that it's like, okay, I can do this and I have the support system. And so we're, you know, you're not on this island by yourself. You have people that I think, whether you're in business with somebody or you have just people that you're communicating with, I think is always so important. I mean, that's the whole reason of
Powered by
Her.
I feel like, I need that. Through all this, like, especially if there's something hard or there's some kind of conflict or there, and I, you know, like I am not the most decisive like person, and having somebody else there with me to say like, what do you think? What should we like? Yeah. I'm just very glad that I'm not alone.
So we're just, before we wrap up to, you know, put a bow on things. You have been part of Powered by Her from the inception as well of things. I don't even really remember how I, you know, but I'm sure we talked over things when I was like, okay, I want to start these lunches mm-hmm. and I'm going to start this podcast. I think you were part of us figuring out a name for it and kind of things. What does Powered by Her mean to you? I mean, I know what it's been this, my third baby throughout the years, but
I don't know if this answers it the right way, but for me, as somebody who, you know, has been in and out of like stay-at-home mom, but has these other like ideas of things I want to do. Like, it's so nice to not be alone, to find other people who are similar in that and to encourage each other, because it is hard, you know, like you can get really down either way. And so to have like an encouraging husband at home who, you know, is okay with me going out and doing this big crazy thing, and to have just other women who are like, yes, you know, you can do this. It's going to be messy. It's not going to be great. It's not like, oh, you can have it all and that's a real thing. No, it's going to be crazy and stressful. But I just think positivity and encouragement and support is so valuable. So I'm very glad that you started this thing.
Yeah. And just similar to you kind of with the bookshop, there's no way I would ever be still grinding without the community of people here that have been supportive and that have been impacted and whatnot. It's
amazing. I feel like there are a lot of women owned businesses in Cookeville, and it makes me wonder, you know, if there wasn't Powered by Her, how that would look. Or, you know, at least there's just a good supportive network that people know of, and that'll keep those businesses going strong.
And we've talked about that a lot with just the Biz Foundry in general, is when you and I, you started coming around within months of me starting. So you've kind of been around the whole time. And the clientele that we would see come in at first was mainly men. I mean, I think when we did the magazine, we featured 9 businesses. 9 entrepreneurs?
There were 10.
I think we dropped one out.
But we didn't replace it. Maybe there were 9. So. I don't know. Yeah, I remember that.
But I want to say there was only like maybe 2 female.
Yeah.
In the magazine. We'd have to go, but look, it's been.
Maybe. The ones I'm thinking in my head are a lot of men.
Yeah. So,
which is fine. But it's good to have.
Which is fine. But it's very interesting that I feel like if we were to do this again, it would be like, okay, let's dig out and find the men that we work with.
I know.
With
it's a lot easier to find.
Because we've just really connected with so many women in the past 5 years, a lot more. And it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
But, you know, I think that it's provided an opportunity for women to come out of the woodwork. And I think I say a lot to people, even if you're not a business owner, and, you know, at some point, you know, even when you were dipping your toes into Plenty, you weren't necessarily a co-founder or you didn't take that title on right away. But I always say entrepreneurship is contagious.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being around Lisa and Dave, who are so, I mean, Lisa is probably one of the most passionate, inspiring people in the whole world.
Yeah.
And being around her, it's like, it's hard not to take that title on and like say, okay, I'm going to.
You just feel like, oh, I can just do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She definitely is one of the greatest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time I ever met Lisa, this is like the Lisa episode.
Yeah.
The first time I ever met her, it was at a happy hour. There was a snowstorm. And so there was like 5 people at this happy hour that the Biz Foundry had put on. And she's like, I just love what you guys are doing. And I'm like, who is this woman? I don't even know who you are. And she seems like she knows who we are. She knows, you know, I mean, every time I would see her, she's like, you've been so great for Jeff and the Biz Foundry. And, you know, you're just a great part of the team. And I'm like, how do you remember who I am? Like, what do you, you know, she's an incredible human. So any other last minute things you want to say before we wrap up today? We're going to be back next week. And so you can.
I know. I'm looking for it. I feel like it's going to be a continuation a little bit.
I know, a little bit of just.
But it's lots of fun things.
Yeah. I'm excited. We've had so many heavy Powered by Her episodes lately. So I feel like I was very excited to come in and record with you and just be not quite heavy. I knew we could laugh. I knew I'm excited to have you as a co-host and not just my interviewer. So thanks for being here today, Ashley. Plenty Downtown Bookshop on Broad Street in downtown Cookeville. Tell us what your website is if people want to find it.
Plentybookshop.com. It's pretty easy and we're open 6 days a week.
It's always in our podcast notes too as a partner of ours. And you can follow along on social media. You guys do some social media. And so you have some events there. We have a book club coming up.
Yes.
We're doing Wolf Pack by Abby Wambach on May 21st. And so you can come out and it's a nice little book. Actually, it is. It's very like inspired.
100 pages, maybe.
Trying to read 12 books this year. So a book a month.
That's really a good goal.
And I'm...
Most of the U.S. is good if they read two. So you're way ahead of the
curve. I've already done two, mm-hmm. and I'm almost done with my third. So I'm feeling really good about... I actually wanted to finish it before today, but I didn't get reading yesterday. But yeah, so I feel good. I'm not going to be a 50 book kind of lady probably ever in my life, but...
that's okay.
Maybe 50 picture books I can do,
You can come do the story times.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And then I'll, so thank you so much for being here, Ashley.
Thanks for
having me. I appreciate you. And we will see you next week. If you want to know more about Powered by Her, head over to poweredbyher.com. Join the community, support the cause, and we'll see you next week.